Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the Paper Courts Podcast. It has been a while, I know. I'll be totally honest here. I thought that I had about 22 total listeners on the podcast, and then as soon as I stopped doing the podcast and started writing the beach volleyball blog at papercourts.com, a lot of people asked me what happened to the podcast. So, you know what? It's back. I mean, I pretty much stopped doing it because the sound quality was so shitty. But you know what? If the people are asking for shitty sound quality interviews, then that's exactly what I'm going to give them. So for the first episode back, I have to give it to my boy Ben Vaught. I made a bet with him that when he qualified, so Ben begged to be on the podcast ever since I first launched it. And he said, what do I got to do to get on the podcast? And I said, well, you've got to qualify. That's your rule. And I didn't think that he would actually do it until, I don't know, maybe Manhattan for a 32-team draw. And then lo and behold, the little bastard does it. First event of the season in Huntington Beach. So congratulations, Benjamin. And so here is my podcast with Ben Vaught, who is one of my first friends that I've made out in California. He's an awesome kid. I've been telling him all offseason long that 2024 Olympics are his. I'm sticking to it. So enjoy my podcast with Ben Vaught and welcome back to the Paper Courts Podcast. All right. Well, you've qualified for the AVP Tour this season, Benny Boo. But is this your best lifelong accomplishment to be on the Paper Courts Podcast, which was your goal at the beginning of the season?
First things first, for everyone listening, if you beg enough to piss somebody off enough to give you a goal and you achieve that goal, your dreams come true. Just want to start with that. And if you haven't noticed, I begged Travis for about 5 months to be on this podcast. Every day until it came to the point, I said, all right, fine. If you qualify for Huntington, you could be on the podcast. So I know in that last match, last point, I told him, we got to do this now. There's a podcast on the line.
The podcast was on the line. Was that your motivating factor to beat Reed Pretty and Kame Shaw?
You know, there was actually a small part of that. I know it sounds kind of funny, but you guys know, I called him at like 2 in like 1 in the morning, and you're still awake. I don't know why. You're like, hey, what's up, Ben? I said, you owe me a podcast. At 1 in the morning, and I was like, still awake, because I was super excited to play, but I was like, I get to be on the podcast.
You get to be on the podcast.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. This is a good time.
I bet it was. And now here we are, and you're on the podcast.
Yes, I am. So what's your first guess?
So you are 20, and you've qualified on the AVP Tour. Is that a weird thing for you to say, that you're a professional volleyball player?
I wouldn't call myself professional.
At what point, I guess, would you qualify yourself as a professional?
I would say if I'm qualifying consistently for the main draw, then that's like the threshold to be a professional. But to answer your first question, yeah, I mean, like I never thought I was going to, I thought I was going to qualify my first time when I was like 24 or 25. And then when everyone's talking about how tough this qualifier was, which it was, I mean, you have Kevin McCullough losing this second round to beach Olympian and four-time indoor Olympian, and you're like, oh crap, this could be another main draw by its own.
Right.
Then you have Paul Rise and Matt Monter and everyone, blah blah blah. But yeah, I didn't think it would happen until I was pretty older, so this was a pretty big accomplishment. From all like indoor accomplishments, this is gonna be the biggest one because it's a professional tournament. And to be one of the more younger guys to do it is pretty cool.
I was kind of curious, like, so coming in, you sort of mentioned there that you didn't think that you were going to get in, but so like, what was your goal or expectation going into the qualifier or into any qualifier really? Like, did you expect to go into, like, my goal, for example, was to make it to the third round where I would see Chase and Mike, and anything after that would be a bonus. So when you saw the bracket and you saw that you would have to play either McCullough and Rafu or Reed and Kame, or Paul Reza and Matt Motter, or any other of a dozen ridiculous teams, like, what was your goal going into the qualifier?
Well, for me, the goal is always to qualify. I never like to kind of set up bars like, all right, if I get to this round, if I get to the second round, I'm going to be happy no matter what.
Right.
The goal is always to qualify, but I would be kind of disappointed if we did not get to at least the round to get in, because I thought that our bracket we had, I felt like we can do it. Then the round to get in, those are going to be the tough one, where it's, if you play your best and they play their best, you know, sometimes you might get a weird ref and might call our handset on match point and a weird ref like Austin. But, you know, something like that could happen and you end up not winning. But yeah, going into my goal was always, okay, well, I want to qualify. But as kind of a realistic thing, if I didn't get to the round again, I'd be upset and probably punt something. I don't know.
You have a known for a good punt. Oh, yeah. A volleyball or two.
I got a mean kick.
And your first match went to three sets, which is insane. Because that's a team, and no offense to the guys that you played, but you should never take a set off of y'all. Did you lose the first or the second set?
We lost the first set.
You lost the first set. Just, what happened?
Talk about nerves, man.
Yeah, just walk me through the day, because you had to play four matches, right?
Okay, yeah.
So just kind of walk me through, starting with a dropped first set, where you're just like, oh shit, like, this has been fun.
Okay, so we get there. It was Brandon's first qualifier ever. And it was my, like...
I didn't know that. So yeah. He qualified literally the very first time he tried. Yeah. That's crazy.
I think that's what he said. You might have played one a few years ago, but... Right. This is my first qualifier where I felt like I can actually qualify.
Yeah.
Because, like, last year, a couple years ago, it was all the pros talking about, you need to get experience. I was like, all right, gotta get experience. You gotta sign up for all of them and just lose.
Right.
This is the first year I can qualify. And after all, we were super nervous. Like, crapping our pants.
I was wondering, so, like, how do you deal with your nerves? Because for me, like, for example, the first... I just try to survive the first switch. Mm-hmm. If I'm down 5-2, huge win.
I try to survive after my first error.
After the first error?
So, like, after I make my first hitting error, serving error, which I'm known to do, like, 100,000 of those anyway, then it's just like, okay, you know what? The first one's out of the way.
Now we're good.
Now we're good. I just can't make 20 more of those. And then we're all good.
Right.
But, yeah, like, for me, nerves, I get... super nervous for every match. I think it's probably, I don't know why, I've always gotten pretty nervous.
That's probably a good sign.
Yeah, it's not like I am afraid to lose, it's more of like, it's the tournament, it's more on the line, whatever. But usually after the first point or two, after I miss my first serve or make a bad shot and it gets dug, and it's like, okay, alright, we're good. Then I stop thinking about it and just start trying to focus on volleyball stuff.
And so when you guys lost that first match, what was the discussion like under you know, in your little chairs between games there? Were you guys freaking out, or were you like, okay, we just played some of the worst volleyball we've ever played, we're gonna be just fine?
We sat down, looked at each other, and goes, well, this fucking sucks. We're like, all right, well. And Brandon's parents are like, they better not lose this first match, this would be bad. And they're like, oh boy, well, can't really get much worse. And they're like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Like, I'm nervous too. All right, we got the nerves out. We're good. And we played a little better, but not the way we usually play. Just a little better, and ended up managing to pull through like 21-7, 16, and like 15-12 or something like that. So, I think the conversation was, this sucks. Let's not make it worse. Let's just play volleyball. Right. Stop thinking about it. And
you did.
And yeah, we worked out in the end.
And you balled. And then so you win your next two pretty easily. You got a nice little gift with Marcin and Tomas upsetting Drake and Lors.
Oh, yeah.
And then so when you were going up to play Reed and Kame, what's the mindset like in that? Because here you are, you're 20. Here's Brandon playing, you know, a full-time worker.
Yeah.
Playing in his first ever qualifier, and you're against the guy who was just playing in Rio in the Olympics and one of the most decorated American volleyball players of all time. It's like, what are you thinking going into that? Are you just like, well, we can win this?
It was more of, we got nothing to lose.
Right.
So let's just have fun kind of thing. But during that first day, it didn't look like we were having fun at all. I mean, we got smoked up pretty good. It was more of a had our panties in a wad kind of thing. So then after that first set, we were going back to our bench. And we really meant, all right, let's just have fun now, since can't get much worse than this. Kind of like the first set, we got our butts kicked. Who cares if they're superstar players? I mean, we're here too, and we just have to play volleyball. Cause I never like to. Every time I kind of think way in the future, like, oh, these guys are so good, they're Olympian, they won AVP, they've actually made money in the sport where you're not supposed to make money.
Right.
Like, I always kind of end up psyching myself out a little bit. I know these guys are really good, I hit this so much better, I gotta hit this so much harder. And I don't know about Brandon, but I think that's the way I was playing. It's like, oh, these guys are so good, I gotta make this swing tougher, gotta hit this serve sharper because they're Olympians and blah blah blah. And after that first set, it was kind of, you know, we're here too. We're cool. We can do this. And I think we kind of played a lot looser, a little more relaxed. Then a few of the guys gave us a game plan, and we didn't really follow it very well to the first game.
Right.
Then the second, third game, we're like, all right, we should do what they say.
What was the game plan, if you care to enlighten our 22 listeners here?
Operation Don't Let Cam Shock Touch the Ball.
Don't let Cam Shock touch the ball.
I know one of the guys came and was like, all right, he is the best player on the beach. He could be the best player on the tour. Right. Maybe P tour.
For sure.
Don't let him touch the ball, no matter what. Then I told Brandon, he's like, okay, we can't serve one guy no matter what. And I told him, well, yeah, this guy said that you got to serve Reed the entire time. Even though if we're out of system, just give him the ball anyway. He'll probably score, but with better chance of him scoring, who doesn't have as much beach experience compared to the guy who's an all-star.
Right.
He's like, okay, yeah, that's not going to work. We can try serving Cam a few balls and maybe whatever, hit a few at him. No.
It didn't work out too well. No, well, I was wondering, because Reed is still, like, sort of kind of new to the beach. So, like, yeah. I didn't know if y'all would try his setting out at all. He got pretty breezy.
Cam jumps up, man.
It just doesn't matter.
He hit the sharpest angle swings I've ever seen. But it wasn't like a straight down rip. It was kind of like a spatch, sharp angle swing. And somebody said spatch at seam, spatch at line, but really high. Like, he's, like, chest over the net. And it's just, okay, let's not serve that guy anymore.
A well-placed spatch is indefensible.
Dude, it was frustrating. I remember after a few times, Brandon was getting frustrated. He's like, hey, man, you got to dig that. You should dig those. And I was like, I have no idea what to do right now against him.
Right.
They're like, all right, well, let's just give the ball to Reed. It might work a little better. And I think Reed was pretty tired since he got served a lot that day.
Right.
So I think that kind of helped out a little bit, man.
How do you respond from... You guys lost, what, 21-13? The first one?
You don't need to mention it, but yeah.
Well, I think that makes your story more impressive.
Oh, yeah, definitely 21-13.
So how do you respond from 21-13? Because I know that a lot of times after you lose that bad, you could just be like, well, shit, let's pack it in. Or did you just revert back to that, well, we have nothing to lose mentality?
Kind of just revert back to we have nothing to lose mentality. For me, it's like I think it's a little more frustrating if you're up like 2018 and lose 21-19 or 22-20 or whatever. You're like, oh, can we just blew it like that? But when you're down that much, it's like, all right, they're spanking us like a bunch of little bitches right now. Am I allowed to curse on this?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so spanking us around like a bunch of girls. I mean, let's at least have a little more dignity and try to play a little better. And you know what? They might be going back there thinking, all right, we got these guys in the bag. They're scared of us, but I'm sure they weren't thinking that. They're cool guys. But, yeah, it's pretty much just, we got nothing to lose. We just got to play volleyball.
What went differently in sets 2 and 3?
I think we got both a little more aggressive. I think trying to go for the harder plays instead of, I think sometimes we both, anyone kind of try to revert to like, all right, this must be the easier shot. I just loop it over the block down the line. No one's going to touch it. He's blocking the line. We just hit it over. But usually guys are quick enough to get those. So we started trying to go in like against the flow, like if they're blocking line, try to hit a sharp angle swing or something that's kind of going against what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And I think I got a little windier, and Reed might have been a little more tired because he was doing a lot.
Right.
Getting served a lot, blocking, jump serving.
Did they split?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty, I think he was looked pretty tired.
Right.
So that kind of probably helped us a little bit. I think we just played a little more confident instead of kind of playing tentative.
What was it like when that, because I know that the last point Reed hit it into the net. What was it like when you saw, so Cam set blows way off, yeah, and Brandon peels.
He didn't peel.
Did you think at all that like, that was, did you know that that was kind of pretty likely that you were going to win the match on that point?
No, I did not. I was not thinking about that at all.
No?
I was like I said, if I start thinking ahead, then I kind of start like messing myself up. I was just so zoned in.
Right.
I was thinking about, okay, we're doing this stuff. Like, all I have to do is dig the line swing. And the set blew off. I was like, all right, he's got to be shooting on this. I just took off there. Then he might have dropped a little bit. Then he got it. And I was pretty stoked about that.
I bet you were. And what's that rush like for qualifying on the AVP Tour at 20, no less?
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool because I started watching, like, my first AVP was Huntington Beach, like, 2013.
Okay.
So it was like, and I started playing at Huntington Beach. I was like, that was my home beach.
Yeah.
That was just cool, one, that I got to do it at my home beach. And doing something that so many people have tried before. Because if you look at, like, BVB Invo, so I'm, like, a huge volley nerd. I go and look at, kind of like, at who won this tournament in 2008, 2007. You kind of see names of similar guys playing from like 2008, 2009, 2010, whatever. And you see their finishes like 17th, like 25th, 33rd, 33rd. And you look back and after a certain time, their names aren't there anymore. Like, oh, they probably ended up giving up. So it's just kind of cool knowing that, hey, I broke the threshold.
Finally. Yeah.
Being like one of the more younger guys to do, which is pretty cool. And
yeah, so let's rewind it. So just kind of walk me through just how you got into beach volleyball, because I know that in California it's always a little bit easier for guys to get into volleyball in general because there is volleyball at like the grassroots level. And I know that you've been kind of raised on it, right?
No, not really. Actually, not at all. So do you want the full volleyball story?
I guess.
Or just the beach?
You know, however you want to tell it. Tell your volleyball story.
Okay, so my mom put me through Junior Spikers. It's like a little beach volleyball camp when I was little.
Okay.
So that was like my first experience with beach volleyball. But it was like a youth camp. So they were like, we're playing dodgeball or whatever. Super, right. Super cool camp though.
Okay.
So then my first like real volleyball experience was at 7th grade in my woodshop class. My woodshop teacher was the Dwyer volleyball, like boys volleyball coach.
Okay.
And gave me a flyer for this new club that I was starting out called the HBC. And he was like, hey, you're good. Like, I he choked out. I was like, you should try it. And I was like, oh my God, I should do it. This is so cool. So I went to the tryout. Then I met the coaches, loved it. That's why I kind of got into indoor volleyball. And I started doing that until I was like all the way through high school with that same club. But then I started getting to the beach when I was like 14, like 15. No, 16, sorry, 16. I started riding my buddy Oliver Ortiz, I don't even know him. We would ride our bikes down around like 12 o'clock. Just for fun, we saw all these people playing ball. I was like, oh, we should try it. So we walked to the north side and just walk around asking people to play games, and we would just play there all day. Then we would wait really late so the guys on the south side would let us play against them, like Juan, Jimmy Huey, like Mark Spitaler a little bit.
Spit,
my boy.
Fixture in Huntington Beach.
Spit's my... He's the man. So we wait really long until the beacon light to let us play against them.
Right.
Because at that time, usually people were leaving. Then we'd be kind of like, hearing, oh man, there's no one to play. We kind of walk by like, hey, you guys want to play us?
Right.
So we started doing that. And I remember the first time we played against him was against an old guy named Gary and a guy named Kurt Boyd who moved to Las Vegas, I think, a couple years back. At the first play, we were all hyped. Just like, hey man, we got to do good so they can let us play with them again. You got to do good. He's like, yeah, I know, man, we got this. So we first play, they serve my partner Oliver. He passes it, I handset him, he puts it down, we get all hyped up. Then we look back, Gary has the ball, and he's like, all right, I need to talk to you guys. We walk in there, he goes, all right, have you guys ever played beach volleyball before? Right. And I'm trying to figure it out, just getting into it. All right, that set was shit. You can't do that out here.
Was this Gary Shriver?
No, it was not.
Oh, it was Gary Shriver, because that sounds like a Gary Shriver thing to say.
Oh, I remember outside how I met Gary after. So he just caught the ball. I was like, all right, that's it. We should. You can't do that out here. And we'll let that one go, but that can't happen again. We're taking the point. We're just like, what a jerk. Who is this guy? So we went back. Like, all right, whatever. Sure. We went back. We started playing more. We played a few games. We're like, okay, this is kind of cool. Then we started doing that for like a couple months, and then a couple other buddies came down. David Shillette, who's the UCLA Barrow, came down and played with us a lot. Then we started getting in with like the old guys like Juan, Adam Hall. I don't know if you know Tomahawk Mike, the guy he always hits with his
Tomahawk. I do not.
Yeah,
I love everyone that everyone has a nickname though.
You're way out of the loop, man.
I am. I never got involved in those crews.
Yeah, geez, man, what's wrong with you? So we started playing them a bunch. And then I met Spit at the beach.
Classic guy.
My homeboy. And we started playing with him a little bit against like Adam Hall and those guys. And at that time, Gary Shriver and Court 2 was like the professional crew.
Who was out there when you were that young? So obviously, I guess he was with Trambley, right?
Trambley was out there a lot. Ben Diggins, Nino. Kind of those guys. But right. There's some other guys, like Dan LaFontaine was...
Okay.
He was playing pretty dang good, from what I remember at that time.
Yeah.
Before his body just fell apart. So those guys were the pros, and like all the locals were like, all right, you guys got to get in that group right there. But I was playing with Spit, and every time I asked him to play, Gary would like shush me off and like no, go over there.
Yeah.
So then, after a while, Sebastian played this tournament. It was like a Santa Monica A. And I was like super excited. I was like, I'm going to play my first beach tournament. And I rode my bike home, which was like, I rode all uphill to like see the beach. It was, it took me like 30 minutes. So I just go off track. I ride my bike down like 7 in the morning, all the way downhill to like 40 minutes. Then pedal at 6 o'clock in the night, all the way uphill to like an hour and a half. It was like the most fun thing ever. Then I got my dang driver's license and just screw that. So I get home, I tell my parents, oh, I'm gonna play in this beach tournament. Who are you playing with? Oh, some guy named Spit. Oh, who is he? I don't know, he's just some 60-year-old guy. Yeah, he said thrilled. He's gonna sign us up. Oh, are you gonna get there? Oh, he's gonna drive us. He said he'll pick me up and we'll drive together. My parents are like, oh, we're gonna go with you. And I had no idea. I was like, what? That's gonna be weird. Why would you do that? But then it took me a little while that I realized, oh, that's why. I clicked it pretty quick.
Yeah.
So we get there and play my first tournament. We didn't pull out. But it was like the coolest thing ever. It was like, oh, that's my first tournament. Got to see how I was doing against some of the A-level players.
How'd your nerves from that compare to the nerves in a qualifier? So I'm sure that your first tournament, you were probably feeling pretty excited.
Oh, first of all, I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
They're talking about like, all right, you guys need a ref. I was like, what the heck is that? Don't we have like people to do that for us?
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea what that meant. Compared to the qualifier, I was like, oh, crap. Qualifiers are a little more intense.
Right.
But qualifiers are also a little more fun, too.
Well, I was going to say, when you were that young and like that new, that was probably your kind of like qualifier at that level. Yeah,
yeah. I was just very giddy.
Yeah.
So we didn't pull out. Then I will never forget, Spit called a handset on one of the guys. And he turns around and goes, okay, thanks for the call, but we're going to call ourselves from now on. You just stay quiet. And Spit was like, well, that's my job. I'm the handset. I'm the ref. He's like, yeah, but we're good. We can call ourselves. So then got to play with Spit a lot more. Then I think a month later, there was another A tournament in Santa Monica. We won that once. We got my double. Then a week later, there was a double A in Huntington. Won that. I got my triple, which is like my first triple.
Phew. That's fast.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty weak double A.
Right.
Compared to, like, how some of them can be.
Yeah. Well, the first double A, I played in a double A when I moved out here, and Rich Lamborn played in it. I was like, oh, he's been to the Olympics, and he's in double A, I'm screwed. I'll never get
that was a tough one. Yeah, we played, in the finals, we played Zorn. I don't know if you know who Zorn is.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he was good. He was a really good player
back
in his day, and he's still pretty good now. So we played them, and that was, like, my first triple A, and that was, like, the coolest. It was, like, I felt like just qualifying. I was like, I'm a triple A. This is awesome. They can only play opens now. Then I can only play opens. I got my butt kicked so many times. It was really signing up to go 0-3.
Right.
I was like, I gotta keep doing this. What everyone tells me to do. Gotta keep doing it. Guys like Jorge would just toy with me the entire time. He was like, you know how he kind of jokes around a lot?
Uh-huh.
And he was just like toy with me, hitting like this shot. He was playing with Jake Rosner, and he would like dick around, and his score would be like 21-10. I was like, man, this sucks. And then, it was kind of slow climb, and I pulled out my first open with Johnny Mohawk.
I didn't know you played one with Johnny.
Yeah, I played one with Johnny. And then we lost to Oz Borges and Dylan Merrick. They kicked our butts.
Right.
I was like, those guys are pros.
Well, it's always uncomfortable playing people who speak different languages.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know.
I never know.
I didn't know if they were, I did not know if they were arguing with us, arguing like with each other, or they were like strategizing. I was so confused.
You never know what's happening.
And I was like, man, this guy's... By the end, like, it was like 28-19 or 18. Like they spanked us, like a bunch of little girls. And I was like, those guys are pros. They must be so good. Then kind of playing the off season, which for me, it wasn't really an off season because didn't do anything. So I just like kept doing everything. Basically, nothing changed. And this was my senior high school, so I ditched school a lot to play beach volleyball.
Nice.
Mom, I'm sorry.
Nice.
If you're listening, I'm really sorry. I did school a lot. And, and then next year kind of opened it a little better. I was like, this is last year, finishing, like, ninths and fifths and a couple third, like, one or two thirds and a couple second, like, 1 second. And then once that was, like, my highlight, like, getting a second and trying to play a little more qualifiers, traveled to the West Coast once, made it around to get in Manhattan, which still I was pretty stoked about that.
Right, yeah, how was it playing the McKibben?
They fucking kicked our ass.
Yeah. But was it, I mean, because I know that, I mean, when when I got out here, I just wanted to play against guys. Like, in the Huntington Beach qualifier last year, I was just stoked that I got to play against Loomis and Rattledge, even though they ended up kicking my ass. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's a cool experience to have. Is that what you were, like, did you, going into that, did you think you were going to win? Or are you like, this is going to be a cool experience because the McKibbins are baller?
You know, I never liked to go into a match thinking, all right, we're going to lose.
Right.
But, you know, like, in the, like, you're not thinking of it, you kind of have a feeling like, all right, this is, we're going to play in our A, we're going to play in our, like, our quadruple A game. They got to play in their, like, F minus game. So we might have a chance. Just maybe.
Have you ever seen The Little Giants?
Never seen that, no.
Oh, dude, it's so good. But it's kind of the same mindset where they're just like, we'll lose 99 times out of 100 to this team. But we can but be one time.
This could be that. We can do so that was my side. If it could be this one, that could upset them. And no, they didn't work at all.
Right.
Madison McKibben was just ripping jump serve. I was like, holy crap, this guy's got an arm. Then Riley was just carving the court, hitting these crazy shots. And then I think we lost the first one, 21-13. And the second one, we were down like 19-12. And I was like, all right, let's get to 14. We didn't get there. So we get to 14, and the score was like 23. All right, we just have this one ball. Count this as a win. Didn't side out that one ball.
Couldn't get it.
Couldn't get it. I was like, eh, all right, whatever. It was a cool experience. It was fun.
Yeah.
But I was like, that. Then I remember sitting there, Patty Dodd, who's my USA coach for Switzerland, she came out and was like, man, I love the way you were setting. I love how you didn't get called on match point and the handset call.
we'll get to Ben's gripe with that in a little bit.
And, yeah. I was like, so sneak. Yeah, I was just like, yeah, great hand setting. And I was like, yeah, that's the next level right there. What do you think we need to do? It's like, well, they're a bit faster than you guys. They jump higher. They're smoother. They hit hard. Everything is just a notch above you guys. And I was like, yeah, no shit. And I was like, but you know, I didn't say it. She's a really nice lady. She's an excellent coach. But I didn't say it. And I was like, all right, well, back to the drawing board. Try to figure these things out. Then this offseason came, and once again, a lot of guys took time off, and my mind is like, why would I take time off? I'm not doing anything. I'm still just a scrub. So we, you know, me and you got out of line, did drills, but this guy named Joel Bloxham, who's going to be a future All-Star. You heard it here first, by the way. Future All-Star.
Tokyo 2020.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the wrong country, though.
Yeah, wrong country. Don't be upset about that. But so we got out every day. Then got set with Andor. We can talk about that a little bit later. And he set me up some pretty cool guys and got me this cool thing going. And all we did is we just did a lot of drills, and it kind of kept progressing, kept getting a little better. By the time everyone got out, I felt like I was kind of at the point where, okay, I can compete with these guys. And then Ed Rattledge helped me out a bunch. He was like the guy that really helped me out a lot and still helps me out a ton when we train with him. And I just think it was kind of a slow, gradual climb. And the climb's not done yet. We've still got a lot more work to do.
Right. And take me through your partnership with Clemens. Because Clemens was, so he was partnered with Duff. And then what made you want to pick him up? And how did you guys have had, your worst finish is like a fifth or something.
Yeah.
Even if a fifth. I don't know. Have you guys even finished outside the semis yet?
One fifth.
Okay.
To my mentor, Eric Zahn. My mentor. put me in my place.
But what makes you and Clemens so good?
I think we have really good chemistry. I mean, he's one of my best friends now. We talk all the time. We hang out a bunch. And we leave our court on-court drama on the court. So I know when you heard the Todd Rogers podcast, when he's talking about Dax, I mean, there's just so much frustration with each other. I think we were able to leave it off, and I think our play styles are complement each other pretty well. He's a big, heavy hitter. I feel like I'm a pretty good setter, and he loves to hit options, and I feel like I'm passing is one of my better attributes. So I was like, okay, pass for options as much as I can.
Take it.
As much as I can, and I feel like he's a good setter. I feel like I sound pretty good. And I think our play style is complemented very well, like a more ball control oriented defender to a big hit the crap out of the ball every time blocker.
Yeah,
and that's why I think we're doing pretty good so far.
And there's definitely a big difference between, so you knew that you were a notch higher when everyone came out to the beach, And I knew because, like, I could see it because I saw you every day. But getting into, I guess, jumping up in that tier of training groups is not easy to do.
No.
How did you kind of force your way in there to be playing against guys like Mayer and Casepier and Ed and Zahn? And I know you haven't gotten in with Jake yet, but I think it's probably a matter of time.
Jake, if you listen to this, please let me train with you. I'll get there early. I'll rake your court for you. I'll set the lines up. I'll bring water. Just let me hop in once. But, yeah, so I play in this AVP Next Ed Rouse tournament with my good friend named Travis Mawerder. I don't know if you heard of him or not.
Playing right-handed?
Yeah, playing right-handed. We didn't pull out. And Ed was walking by and I yelled at him, Ed, do you want to get out sometime? He's like, oh, yeah, what are you doing tomorrow? He's like, I don't know. Let's do something. So we got out with him, and then we played Mike Bogue and Miles Evans, and I was playing with Ed. And I asked Ed, like, hey, would you ever want to keep getting out? He's like, well, you have to keep texting me. It's off season right now. I can come down and play games anytime. So I was like, okay, so I blew up his phone. I just, hey, Ed. Ed, my man, I know. What's up?
Eagle,
what are you doing tomorrow? So he kept getting out with me, and then he brought Miles Evans down a couple of times where you and I played them. Kept getting on with him quite a bit, and I asked him, I was like, yeah, I really appreciate letting me come out with you, helping me out a bunch. And that time he was teaching me about different techniques and how to teach me stuff I'd never heard of. It's like the guys I was like, well, the guys playing, they never told me. I was like, okay, you can't do this blocking scheme on a guy who's playing on this side because it's too easy to do this shot, or you need to work on spacing so you're not approaching this way or that way. So he pretty much said, I asked him, hey, thanks for letting me come out with you. He's like, yeah, you know, I just need to get in shape. In a month or two, I probably won't call you that much anymore. And I was like, okay, well, thanks, man. But I was like, all right, well, I want to get better, so he has to call me. So then, kept getting a little better, and now I think we get calls from like once or twice a week for early morning ball, which is great. So then after that, Ed kind of had connection with everybody, so he kind of put me in group text with Kevin McCulloch or all these other guys, and just kind of got their numbers that way, and then started just blowing up their phones. Like, hey, Avery, what are you doing, man? Let's train. You're like, okay, yeah, let's go. Then guys kind of branched out from there. So you got to bug people a lot.
Yeah.
The bottom line, you got to blow up their phones enough until they say yes.
Was there any level of, like, being starstruck by these guys, or because, like, so you were training with, I would say, the beach volleyball equivalent of like Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson, right? And if you look at it that way, like, you might be a little starstruck to go play hoops with Kyrie Irving, but with beach volleyball, I feel like it's a little bit different because they're not like Avery Drosa is not a celebrity,
yeah.
But was there that element where you were like, holy crap, I get to train with Avery Drosa today?
The first time I tried that, I was so nervous,
yeah.
I was like, I better play good. Because if you don't play good, you're not going to get close anymore. I'm like, all right, well, not worth my time. If I want to get good reps, there's a million people who live here that can give me good reps. But it's like the one crappy thing about living in California. Like, sarcasm. But, so yeah, like when I first got with Ed and like Miles Evans, who's a superstar now, he's a freaking baller. And all these guys, I was like, all right, I just got to play good so they can let me play with them. And if you'd be nice, I'm not like a total dickwad, you know. Sometimes you can be that guy who's like, all right, well, there's no one left. Ben's a cool guy. He can come out. He'll come out and play with us. So I was just kind of like, I was terrified. Like, I'm never gonna show. I was terrified, but in my mind, I was like, don't fuck this up. You know, I was like, you're taking a math test. Like, all right, if I fail this test, I'm gonna fuck out of school. Can't fuck this up.
So this was your beach volleyball math test.
Pretty much. I was like, It gotta be cool. They gotta be a cool guy, and I gotta play good.
Right.
And then I thought I played okay, and got a couple calls back here and there. And then you get a couple more people's numbers, you get a couple callbacks here and there, and eventually your whole week's gonna be filled out with, okay, this guy called me this for this day, then this guy called me the next day, and kind of progresses all the way down. And then you're like, oh wow, I got 2 weeks already scheduled ahead. This is cool.
How much did that help prepare you? I mean, physically, obviously, it helps to be getting, you know, trying to side out against Robbie and Avery, but mentally preparing you for the pressure of a qualifier, knowing that you can beat a Robbie and Avery or an Ed and Miles.
Oh, man, yeah. It was huge because, like, No, we kind of go into your first qualifier or you play. A tough, like a Chase and Mike in an open with Frisch's friends behind them calling me Pat the entire match. Like, you know, you get into a qualifier and you're like, oh man, these guys are really good. We got them playing our quadruple A game, they got them playing bad. But then you proxy against them, you beat them a couple times, you give them at least a good game, like, you know, we can hang with them. We can do it. So it's kind of that mindset of where you're kind of playing down. You're playing down, looking at them up to kind of see them kind of eye level.
Right.
Does that kind of make kind of...
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, sorry.
So you made main draw. What did you do to celebrate that night? And because I know that you had played 4 matches, 2 of them went to 3 sets. Your score freeze with Chris and Kyle might as well have added another full set. It took about 45 minutes.
We had 9 side switches.
And to score what, like 3 points total?
2 points.
Two total points. And so you do that, you have to be exhausted, and you're waking up the next morning and you're playing Jake and Taylor. So what's that night like for you going from like the best achievement you've had yet, knowing you're going to have to play one of the best blockers on the planet and Taylor Crabb, who I think will be an Olympian many, many times. So is it like you're celebrating, but you're also trying to prepare?
Dude, I got so drunk that night. Yeah, me and him, we just went bar hopping nights and all night. We didn't even sleep.
No, just slept on stadium.
No, actually, we just partied until we had to play. We just walked out there. No, so we went back, like both super excited. We went in the hot tub that's at the place. Went in the jacuzzi for like 20 minutes, stopped on the lakes, ate dinner, and went to bed.
Epic.
That was that was literally, you know, I think Brandon went to the store and got some Gatorade. He got some Ben and Jerry's half-baked ice cream.
Oh, good choice.
Oh, incredible.
Good choice, Cummins.
Incredible. And he was like, all right, whatever happens tomorrow, we're going to eat this. I said, absolutely, and he ate half of his already. So, my celebration, I just went to bed. Hey, Brandon's celebration was little Ben and Jerry's.
Hey, Ben and Jerry's, it's a good choice.
It's a great choice. I never had it before, and I was like, oh my god, this is incredible. This is going to be the best thing ever. What?
No, I was just, were you finished?
Oh, yeah, I was finished.
Oh, so Jake and Taylor play in main draw, so you were nervous for the qualifier.
Yeah.
Main draw, what's the difference?
Main draw was pretty, it was pretty, like, pretty, it was more of like a, this is so cool, to play against Jake Gibb and Taylor Craig. Then we start warming up City and Court, I was like, holy crap. They had their coach do, like, triangle setting, and I don't know, I'm sure a lot of people see, but when Jake Gibb plays, it's no emotion.
Tim Duncan.
If he's looking at you. When he's playing with his partner, he's celebrating. When he looks at you, it's like, I'm going to stuff the fucking shit out of you. And there's nothing you can do about it, so just saddle up, bitch boy, get ready. So, like, saw him warming up, he was just, like, just angry face. You know, Taylor's Taylor.
Yeah.
Just kind of doing his thing, like, you know, Taylor's just going to trot to the end, just hit the crap out of the ball. So we were, like, just, I was, like, super nervous, and I think, pretty sure Brandon's pretty nervous, too. And after the first serve, then I was like, okay, this is cool. But before that, I looked at the lines, like the ball hander. And I was like, I am so nervous right now. She's like, just don't be, just play, you're good. I was like, thank you.
So the MVP volunteers, good for you guys.
Yeah,
you did great.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then played that match, and after like the first like just first side switch, we're just having so much fun.
Right.
Like, this is the coolest thing ever. We're playing a stadium court. We actually have fans cheering for us and heckling at the same time. This is awesome. Then during like timeouts, we look over their coaches, like, I think it was Taylor Crabb's dad. They're kind of coaching that. And me and him were just kind of dancing to the music in our little players' box. We just like a bunch of goofballs. But we had fun.
Yeah, you did. And you took them 21-19, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, well, that was really cool.
Did you expect that?
No.
No? What was your over-under for scores per set? Were you hoping to get to, like, maybe, I think 17, 18 would have been a fair goal?
I mean, my goal was, like, let's get above 15.
Yeah.
Because I watched, because I remember when Kevin Villela and Jay Madero played them, Casey and Jake, they only got to 14. Then in San Francisco, TJ DeFalco, man, he didn't qualify, and TJ's also a superstar volleyball player, and I think they only got 14 on them. So I was expecting, all right, well, if those guys, I mean, if you have another two other superstar players, only get to 14 on Casey and Jake, which is also a really good team, you know, it's going to be tough.
Right.
But then, no, first game was like a sat-out game. Then they kind of got a little bit in the first and a little rut. In the second game, it was literally side-out in a row. We get one reel, they side-out. They get a reel, side-out. All the way to, like, we switched up 18-17. And, like, we called a timeout. Like, the technical, we're up 11-10. I was like, holy crap, we're winning. We've been winning this entire time, I think. Then we switched up 15-13. Then we switched up 18-17. Or we switched, like, 14-4, and we switched up 18-17.
It was 14-14 because Taylor made the most ridiculous block I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Broken play that Clemens had pretty much a 50-50 with no one at the net, and then Taylor just sort of appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, I saw. There was a highlight reel on YouTube. I saw that. I was like, ooh, that stings. I could have covered. But
if he didn't make that block, do you think you guys win that set?
You know, I'm not going to say yes. But you never know. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So it kept switching up the entire time, and then throughout that match, like, we can take a set off them. And then then Jake Gibb got pretty snarly. Got that really intense, like, there's no way I'm losing to a bunch of kids. And Taylor Crabb was like, no, we're not gonna lose. And I think they dropped a pretty good serve, and I think I whipped the ball like a couple inches out of bounds. But no, just like playing there was just like the coolest thing ever.
For sure.
You're just like, man, this is awesome. We got to play on Stadium Corp. We have the announcer announcing our names and calling our plays. But the most nerve-wracking part, I don't know if I should say this on the thing, was walking to the players' tent for the first time.
Well, no, I was going to ask you about that.
That was...
Well, I mean, what was it like? Because, I mean, these guys were, I don't want to say like your heroes, but they were what you aspired to be.
Yeah.
And now you were their peers. You were competing against them.
Yeah, I remember... Like, we walked outside, we had to, like, show the player, like, the security guard our thing, and he, like, kind of looked kind of funny, like, just walk in, I don't really care, I can see it. So, yeah, I stopped outside, I stopped Brandon, I was like, all right, what do we do? He's like, I don't know, what are you asking me? He's like, do we just, like, sit down? Do we go find, like, an open table? Or, like, do we just, like, grab a chair, like, pull him to the corner? Like, what do we do? He's like, I don't know. I was like, all right, let's just walk in there, see if we recognize anybody, and we just sit down there, don't ask any questions. So you walk in there.
So you're like the new kids in school.
Yeah.
You're like walking in the cafeteria, just like, no one fight me.
Yeah, like, no one throw something at me here. We walk in there, we got some death stares. Guys are just giving like the glare. We're just like, just ignore them. We're tough. We can take it. And we sat, like, Casey Patterson was on his phone. I was like, I'm sitting there. Because he's on his phone. So you sat right there, and then sit there, and John Merritt just waves at me. Goes, hey, congrats. I was like, oh, thanks, man. Then... It was really kind of really quiet, and everyone was kind of doing their own thing. Had a really good quinoa salad thing. Then, well, that was really good, man. And then, yeah, we're sitting there, and then we talk to Casey starts talking to us a little bit. Then Brandon's friend Jace comes in, and she sits with us, and we're like, all right, we're good.
Oh, Jace Pardon?
Jace Pardon, yeah. Yeah, she's super cool. And that was pretty much it, but walking in there, I was like, crap. Then we noticed the free massages. We didn't know that we
could. Oh, that's a big win. Free massages are a huge win.
I got two.
Nice. You gotta make use of it.
I didn't even need one, but I got two.
Just because
I could. And that was incredible. It was a good time. It was fun.
Who were the guys who were the pros who were like really like, I guess, unnecessarily nice to you? Who like reached out, like you said, Mayer was like, hey guys, like congratulations. Mm-hmm. Like who were the pros who kind of accepted you in with open arms?
John Mayer was a big one. Jake Gibb, before the match, hey, congrats on making through a brutal qualifier. And then, which Jake Gibb is that guy, but like, he was like one of the biggest reasons why I started playing beach volleyball. I'll tell you how a little bit, but Ryan Doherty, I was walking and Ryan Doherty just came up to me, and I'm just like looking straight up, about to break my neck. He just shakes my hand and goes, congrats on making through a brutal qualifier. And I was like, man, that's really cool. You know, it's like, you work so hard, and all these, like, you work really hard, me and Brandon both, and these guys are, like, come and say congratulations, it's really cool. Oh, Ty Tremblay, too. And Ty Loomis was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody, really. Everybody that kind of knew who we kind of knew us already were super nice. Avery was a saint. That guy is an all-star. I love that guy.
Great guy.
But everyone was so cool in there. I mean, for after the first walk-in, I might have been just, like, in my own head thinking, like, oh, crap. But everybody was just super cool guys. It was, like, such a cool, friendly environment. I was like, man, these guys are just awesome. So then you talk about like guys like Michael Jordan, who's like such a cool, awesome basketball player, but he hates talking to press. And some of these, I'm sure, I'm just assuming some of these basketball players, when the new guy joins their team, they're not just like, hey, man, good to see you out here, you know.
Right.
Like, same thing with football, too. But these guys were just so cool. And I was like, man, these guys are just so nice. And after the match, everyone was just so nice. So, like, hey, man, congrats. You guys played well. Good for you guys. We're proud of you. I was like, man, these are just good group of guys to be a part of.
Just good people.
Just good all-around people.
And then, so Huntington ends. You guys take a 13th.
Yeah.
And which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because there was a 66-team qualifier plus a 16-team draw. So, you were 13th out of a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And what was it like? So I know that it was only a week or two between Huntington and Austin. So I know that you were sort of just bugging the crap out of people to get training reps with them. Now that you had qualified, did that sort of like break the ice between you and that barrier?
No, it did a little bit. No. Some guys that I would text a trainer and just kind of tell me no. Like, hey, I'm set up already. I'm set up already. I'm not feeling good or I'm tired. You know, after a while you kind of realize like, hey, they're just kind of shushing me off.
Right.
Then they started texting me a little bit, and I was like, oh, okay, nope. Look, it kind of did break the ice a little bit. Then I could text guys and be like, hey, you want to train? Like, oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, let me check and see if we have something scheduled. Like, oh, no, we're free. We can do it.
You had jumped up on the list.
Yeah, I jumped up a little, right. Almost a little bit. And Jake Gibb, you're listening. I'm free.
we'll see if we can get him on.
If you listen to these podcasts, just put me in once.
Just see if you can get on that court one.
I can shag for you guys. Just let me pop in there.
And so you had qualified. You're starting to train with a lot of really high-level guys pretty frequently. You go to Austin. Was it different, I guess, starting in Austin than it was starting in Huntington? So Huntington, you guys said that you were both nervous as crap. It was Brandon's first qualifier. It was your first qualifier where you were like, okay, I can do this. How did the expectations and mindset change from Huntington to Austin?
Austin was more, because we got the 3C. I think what kind of screwed me up, but everyone was telling me, oh, it's an easy qualifier. And I was like, oh, yeah, we should be good. We got this. We can do it. We've done it before. And we kind of, I mean, that first match, I always get a little nervous. But then we started playing. And I was like, all right, we got this. We're fine. And then, yeah, I was like still a little nervous. We kind of went through the qualifier. We had to play a really good team our second match. We got to the fourth round, I think I kind of, I'm not going to say overlooked, but I was thinking, all right, we can do this, we can beat these guys. And then, you know, I got in a big funk and kind of screwed everything up, but.
And these guys were Ian Satterfield and Orlando Irizarry, who, good team.
Great team, very good team. But I was Satterfield, I was like, okay, I trained with Satterfield before, you know, he's not a Cam Shog, and I didn't even know who Orlando was at the time, I was like, I've never seen this guy before. Like, we can do this, and we take the first set off them. Then the second set, we were up by a good amount. And they slowly chipped back. And then in the third set, it was kind of they had all this energy going. And I was playing a little more reserved. And I play my best ball when I'm very fired up and into it. And then we lose off a very questionable hand call. Katie. I'm still mad.
It was a terrible call.
I'm still very mad at you for that. I wanted to yell at you, but I had to restrain myself. And, I think what kind of that kind of hurt me in the end was kind of thinking, oh, yeah, we can do this. We've done it before. We belong here. So I think for me to play well, I need to be the guy thinking, I got to prove a point. I got to prove to everybody that I can do it instead of thinking, oh, I can't. I know I can do it kind of thing.
Right. And so next up is New York and then Seattle. So were you planning on traveling to all of them this year, or were you only, like, once you qualified in Huntington and now you're contractually obligated, right?
Yep. We are stuck on
it. Roped in?
Roped in. No more.
You get to file taxes for the first time then.
Yeah.
Big expense report.
Yep. No more NBLs for us.
So you're going to New York and Seattle and you're doing all these cool things. I guess now... Is there now a difference that you're a full-time volleyball player? Because that is what you technically are.
No, not really.
No?
No, I mean, I think... Well, I was a little hesitant when Brandon was scheduled. Like, I want to do these. And I was like, that's really far. I mean, I don't want to... You know, that's a lot of money and a little tough. But after we qualified, it's like, all right, yeah, you know what, I'm all in. After that first match, like, I can see why guys do this for 20 years. But they probably, some guys probably lose more money than actually make.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, it's just so much fun, just so cool. And I was like, all right, I want, and I told them, I want to do every single one. Like, I don't want to skip any of them. I want to do these. I want to do Norsekas. I want to do them all. I want to get right, I want to go dive head first into it. But he said, okay, well, I have a full-time job. It's got to be real here. I was like, all right, well, we can maybe hold off on Norsekas. Let's just do the AVP stuff and try to do be really cool. Try to do some cool stuff with that.
Yeah. And so what are your goals for the rest of the season? And then what are your goals for, we'll do a 1, 5, and 10-year plan here.
Oh, boy.
Go for the year. Go for 5 years. Go for 10.
All right, so go for
and by 10, you'll still only be 30.
Yeah, jeez.
So you wish at Haydn's pace at 30, you'd be like 10 years, you'd be in your volleyball infancy.
Yeah, seriously. Hi, that guy is awesome. But, so I think we're talking about the beginning of this year was, like I said, our dream goals, our fallback. So right now, my dream goal was to try to qualify for as many main draws as possible. That's still my goal because I know we're going to be in Manhattan already with AVP next bid. So we got that main draw in. And Chicago is a big main draw. So if we just qualify a couple more times, we're going to be in that one. And I heard Hermosa is going to be a 2014 main draw, too.
All right. That's what I'm talking
just
about.
Just a rumor. I'm not sure. But if it is, then we should be in that one, too. So, which would be cool, because the last three AVPs, if everything is as it is, we can be in. Should be in.
Yeah.
So, right now, the goal is I want to qualify for New York. And then, I heard either Seattle or San Francisco, a lot of teams are going to be missing, too. So, I mean, this is just big dream goals here, but if that's missing, we could be in that one, too.
Hit them all.
We can try as many as we can. So the goal is to qualify, be as many win draws as I can, and right now, best was 13th. Now the goal is the best to be in 9th. And after that, now let's try to take a 7th or a 5th. Then like a 3rd or a 2nd, then kind of just keep climbing that ladder. But obviously, the dream goal is to win one, but...
Right.
The realistic goal is let's win a match first.
Okay. And I know that winning that first main draw match takes a... For some players, it can take a long time. So for, I think Billy Allen, it took 10 main draws to finally win one main draw match.
Oof.
For a guy like Miles Evans, he qualifies for the first time last year and takes 5th. Now, granted, he had a little help because Phil and Nick forfeited. But they still did win 2.
If it's the 5th.
What do you have to do to win that first main draw match? Like, what was the difference? So you played Loomis and Trambley, who I think... Just given on paper, probably one of the more beatable teams in that Huntington.
They played really good.
And Loomis served ridiculously well.
And, you know, Ty Trambley, that guy plays the best defense.
What do you need to do? What's the difference between winning in a main draw and just getting through a qualifier and going uno dos?
I think, like level wise between the qualifier guys and main draw.
Could be level wise. Could be skill wise.
I think
maybe one serves better. Is everything you said against McKibben is just one notch higher.
Yeah, I really think that because the guys like qualifying season like Chase and Mike McKibben and guys who are getting to the second or third round, you can tell Chase and Mike and McKibben and Derek Olson, they got pretty. They all got tough serves. They all set well, which I think is the biggest two from. I've talked to some of the pros. Everyone, you got to have a tough serve. Because anybody that's in system is going to side out really well. Everyone's tough to stop in system. And everybody sets really well. If you're not setting, if you're playing with a partner that doesn't set very well, it's just easier to serve your partner, serve that guy every single ball, and make your partner setting the out of system part of the game. You can just easy flow, and your partner will make it tough. But then you get to the main draw, like a Tyler's Ty Trambley. They all have really good serves. They all got cannon swings and good shots. And they all set really well. You get to the next tier guys, even sharper, even harder. Maybe not as hard as you, but even sharper swings, tougher serves, bigger blocks. Then you get to like Phil and Nick and Casey and Theo and Jake and Tara. Then you know those guys all never make a hitting error.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when we played Jake and Tara, I think Jake only hit one ball out. I don't think he even hit one out.
Efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, you hit every single ball in the court. Even if we dug him once or twice or got a touch on the ball was still in.
Right.
I mean, that's just like, those guys don't ever give away free points. It's like, You might get an ace on them, you get a good serve, but if you serve a pretty easy ball, they're going to side out.
Yeah.
Your odds are pretty low. If you serve a really tough ball, if they get a good pass, they're going to side out. So I think at the highest level, just everything is so efficient. Even watch like international ball play. Sometimes it can get so boring because it's just like pass, set, side out. Next year, pass, set, side out. Pass, set, side out.
Boring volleyball is good volleyball.
Yeah, boring volleyball is like the best volleyball in the world. Yeah. You're just like, all right, well, who's going to get one stop?
Like you watch Nick and Phil and you just get bored to tears because it's just such good volleyball.
They just side out every time and pass perfect, set perfect, and dig everything. But I think at the highest level, it's just the consistency.
Yeah.
That, because I listen to Billy Allen's podcast. He always say, you know, it's qualified guys can bounce ball straight down that I can't do. They can rip jumpsters that I can't hit as hard. But I know I can hit the ball on the court more times than they can. And that's what's going to win matches. And that's why I think the best players are doing so well because they hit the ball on the court. No matter where they are, they can find a way to hit the ball on their side, the other side of the box. So that's kind of like the strive to get there is be able to get that type of consistency. And be able to put pressure on their team. So then in 5 years, I hope to be playing FIVB main draw. I'll be hopefully winning AVPs. So like 5 years from the goal is to be like actually being like a pro beach volleyball player.
Right.
Like really like boom, like really there. Then in 10 years, hopefully, if nothing bad happens during that time, hopefully I'm doing what I'm doing 5 years, but being like one of the veteran players.
Yeah.
Because I think it's pretty cool to be a veteran player who's like John, who's done it all the way through already. You've seen tons of players, young guys come up and kind of drop off a little bit, or guys go through their entire career. So in 10 years from now, that's the goal would be to be like that veteran player at 30, veteran at 30. It's stupid, but
yeah,
that's the goal.
Right.
Yeah. So that's.
And you so at 20, I would like to say you're the youngest player in the AVP, but. Technically, TJ DeFalco had you beat at 19.
Yeah,
so you guys have been teammates for a long time, since right?
You were 12, 13, something like that.
And so you have you and TJ and Chase and Mike and Brandon and the McKibbins are kind of 27, 28-ish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have like a young nucleus of beach volleyball players. Do you include yourself in that group or do you think you still have... kind of you said to push in a little bit more.
I would like to include myself in there because I feel like I can compete with those guys, but going on stats and paper, I can speak for TJ and I'm only qualified for one. We kind of still have to push our way in through a little bit more, but I feel like me and Brian can compete with. You can give Chase and Mike a good game. You can compete with Eric Zahn, my mentor.
We're gonna have to make sure that Zahn listens to this.
Oh, he's my mentor. That guy, he really good guy. But yeah, like I would like to include myself in that group, but as of right now, I can't say that I am a part of the next evolution of beach volleyball yet. But maybe in a month or so, maybe if we get into the next couple, I can say, you know what, been through the ringer a few times now. I can include myself. I think I'm on the right track, though. I think I'm on the right track.
I think that you are for sure on the right track. Now, Ben, your dream has come true. You have made it on the Paper Courts podcast.
This is an excellent day.
Do you have any parting words or thoughts for the Paper Courts audience?
Andre Ojalai's helped me out a bunch. If you need good help, go talk to him. He's a genius at volleyball.
His company is called Volleyball One-on-One.
Yep, he's some pretty awesome guys. You go to rockperformance.com, you'll meet a guy named Tom House, who's really... I skipped a lot, but when I was 16, well, nobody wanted me in college, indoor. That's why I kind of pushed more to beaches. Every year, I was like, kind of getting pushed out of the indoor group. I'm going more to the beach. And there's three things I did not have that I needed to be a good indoor player was a really good jump serve, a fast arm swing, and really good jumping, be able to jump well. And if you go to rockperformance.com, those guys are geniuses with shoulder care and shoulder strength, really help my arm swing. Then you go to humanmovementlab.com, Andre set me up with this, really good guy, he really knows about jump training specialties. So for all those kids out there who are listening, if all 27 of you, check those websites out. Go on them. Schedule your appointment. It'll be really helpful for you.
And you're making a pitch for to be a good sponsor, salesman.
Oh yeah, any sponsors? Nike, Quiksilver, Hurley, Oakley, anything. Anybody who listens to this, send me an email. Send me a Facebook message. We could talk. I'm here.
And where can our many listeners and autograph seekers reach you by?
You got me on Facebook.com. I don't want to give my email out. Just never send me a Facebook message through the tab. My Facebook is Ben.
That's Vaughn. What I did.
Yeah, that's what you did. Oh yeah.
When I first moved out here, I played against Ben like the first weekend I was here, and I thought that him and Brendan Duff were like gods because they could handset. And so I sent Ben a Facebook message later that day, and I said, hey, I just moved here. I'm going to be coming out. And I don't think Ben thought too much of it.
No, I kind of just looked at it. Away from it. But send me a Facebook message. Ben, if you have any questions about any of this training stuff, I'll set you up with some good, awesome trainers. And listen to the Paper Courts podcast. It's a great podcast. Also, check out CoachYourBrainsOut.com. I listen to that all the time. John Mayer, Billy Allen, great podcast.
Great guys.
Great podcast. Great volleyball players. Awesome people. And I got really nothing else to say, so thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, Benny Boo.
How long did that last?
It's good. It was probably about a little more than an hour.